Recycling is one of the simplest ways each of us can contribute to a healthier environment. About 1 billion gallons of motor oil is used every year in this country. Over one-third of it ends up in groundwater, rivers, and streams. Over 500,000 trees are needed to supply Americans with their weekly Sunday newspapers. Every year, approximately 28 billion glass bottles and jars are thrown away, enough to fill New York's World Trade Center every 2 weeks. Today's aluminum can tossed on the ground will still be on Earth 500 years from now. Many communities provide recycling centers for newspapers and non-returnable bottles and cans. And many service stations and stores recycle used motor oil. In fact, it's required in some states. Milk cartons, corrugated cardboard, and plastic can also be recycled. Operation Earth. You can make a difference.
It's impossible to stay, but there's one thing I must say before I go. I love you, you know. I'll be thinking of.
Hello, this is Teresa Zapolska inviting you to tune in to the Polka Country USA show every Sunday from 6 to 7 p.m. right here on WUSB Stony Brook 90.1 FM.
I love you all the while. With your cute little ways, won't you promise that you'll save your...
This transmission is coming to you approximately halfway between the moon and the earth.
Have you noticed that Saturday nights just haven't been the same?
Weather experts say the winds have now changed and appear to be carrying the radiation back toward the Soviet Union.
Brain damage is in the air every Saturday night, beginning at 10. And whether you believe it or not, it's affecting you already. Brain damage, USB's free-form radio talk show. So tune in and call up every Saturday night. You better believe it's brain damage here on a Saturday night. It's 7 minutes after 10 o'clock, and we've got all kinds of weirdness around us. Stay tuned. We've got an interesting show planned for you tonight. Tony, if you touch that anymore, I'm going to kill you.
Remember last week, Tony.
Do you need this one here?
Look, the morons, and I will say this again, the morons at the physical plant have turned on the heat again for some reason.
Precisely.
It's 95 degrees in here.
Do you need this?
Nice and cool outside, but it's hot in here.
Do you need this?
Yes, I need two fans, Tony. I need two fans. One for the right side of my face and one for the left side of my face.
Depending on
which side of my head I turn.
I'd like to take one of them.
You mean the air conditioning doesn't work at all in the other room?
It does, but I'm going to be...
Wait a minute. It does. So you want to take one of my fans and use it with the air conditioning. You want to sort of combine the two.
Understand me. Hear me clearly for a minute.
I'm hearing you.
I want to take the fan out of here and put it in the conference room.
You mean the oven room?
Yes. Do you have a problem with that?
Well, yeah, a little bit. Because that might make you a little more comfortable. And if you're comfortable, you might stick around a little longer.
You know, Eric, you have a show to do.
I do.
After your show is over, I'm going to shatter every bone in your body.
Well, Tony, I have about 250 of them. I don't think I'm going to want to spend that much time with you. But I'm sure we'll have time to talk about it while Moscow Mailbag is on.
So which one can I have?
Well, Tony, I didn't say I could have any of them, really. But why do you have to be in the conference room? The conference room is used for guests. You're not a guest, unfortunately.
Precisely.
You're one of the people that work here.
Considering that I've been one of the most prolific people at the station.
Right, so why do you want to go in that room?
The purpose for it is very, very simple.
Fans don't do any
good. I am programming my show,
okay? Uh-huh.
And for me to be comfortable and to program my show to the precise way where it could sound as eloquent as ever, then I need to be
as far away from the equipment as possible. I
need to be as near without me.
Okay, well, then I guess that makes all the sense in the world.
Forget it.
Take the fan. Oh. Well, now it doesn't work anymore, but, okay. Well, things aren't going too smoothly around here. As you know, last week the intro to this program died right on the air. In fact, it's still here. The cartridge that has all the tape spewing out of it has not moved from the spot that we left it in last week. Because apparently if anyone touches it, they're going to think that they did it and they'll get blamed for it. Well, no, it happened live on the air and it's still here, but it doesn't work, so we can't use the intro. But we have something even better planned. Oh, yes, that's The Clash from, we'll get to the phones later. Phones are getting a bit edgy there, jumping in on us. That was The Clash from the Forgotten album. The Forgotten album called Give 'Em Enough Rope and Safe European Home. And I guess, you know, in a crazy kind of a way, that song sort of makes a lot of sense. Because, well, in all actuality, this is the last episode of Brain Damage. Oh, come on. Who's responsible for this? I'm trying to be serious here. people are just doing all kinds of crazy things. You were responsible for that, weren't you?
Since you're on the subject about something serious, yes. I think I have something serious to say. As far as sports is concerned, believe it or not, the New York Mets have won 10 straight. They just defeated the San Diego Padres. Well, not just defeated them, but they defeated them about 14 minutes ago by a score of 3-1.
Tell me, why do you think anybody here would care?
Because, you see, people care about what's happening in the world today. And sports is a very integral part about what's happening in the world today.
Sports is a big waste of time, if you ask me.
And here's something else that you have to consider, too.
Yeah.
More Long Islanders prefer the Mets than they do the Yankees.
More Long Islanders.
Just as they prefer the Islanders over the Rangers. Just as they prefer the Jets over the Giants.
I tell you what more Long Islanders would prefer. They prefer to be left alone is what they would prefer.
Well, before we leave them alone, please inform them. As I have said again, the Mets have just won 10 straight. They're 10th straight ball games.
Oh, 10 straight. Actually, I am impressed by that. That's good.
10 straight ball games.
They're an exciting team, aren't they? Well, they do tend to do things in mass numbers.
Anyway, David Cone got the win, John Franco in relief, and it's very impressive.
Okay.
Now the Yankees go for one notch above 500 tonight as they face the California Angels at Anaheim Stadium.
Now, how many in a row have they won?
Yankees? Yankees have only won two straight.
Two straight. Well, that's something, you know.
They're
demean
in third
them
place,
because
and I'll tell you, they're really on the heels of the Detroit
Tigers,
right?
You don't even know the names of the teams.
No, it's like Lions, Tigers, Pistons, Red Wings. You know, sometimes we get a little confused.
Go ahead.
Did you hear about the close to $50 million payday that's coming up November 8th?
What?
Yes, Mike Tyson and Evander Holyfield. Holyfield's a guaranteed $30 million, Tyson $15 million, and plus Holyfield may receive at least $4 to $5 million extra from the pay-per-view gate.
Ask me if I care.
Of course you care.
I do not care. Two grown men battling each other, and they get paid for
it. It's not a question of grown men battling each other. This is the biggest spectacle in boxing sports. This is the much... People have waited for this match since the days of Muhammad Ali against
I can go
Bill
to Outfit
Frazier.
City and watch
March
a much 8th,
1971
worse
at Madison
less.
Square Garden. Now, my argument is, why wasn't this fight at Madison Square Garden instead of Las Vegas?
I don't know. Maybe it should be in the Union Auditorium. I mean, why not? You just never thought of it, did you? Why does it always have to be in the same place? You know, maybe that's part of the whole problem.
Eric, in the Union Auditorium, it could not hold 3,000 people.
So you don't invite 3,000 people. You invite the Union personnel and their staff, maybe a few people from the radio station.
Why am I discussing
this? And everybody else gets it piped out over the satellite.
I really asked for this. I did.
Well, you sure did.
I should have known better.
Come in here talking sports.
How did I come in here? All I wanted to do is just inform the fans of what's going on.
14 letters about last week's shenanigans and starting Moscow Mailbag 20 minutes late. 14 letters. And one telegram, too. I don't know if that's counted within the 14, but...
By the way, since we're on the subject of things messing up, what about your intro?
Well, the intro is dead. Remember we killed it last week?
But it is dead.
The point is, we sort of said at that meeting we both had to go to on Friday, you know, that we weren't going to start Moscow Mailbag late again.
Yeah, that's true. You want to start it now?
Well, I think we should... I was trying to make a serious announcement.
And
here.
I interrupted
Came
you.
Came waltzing in here. Yeah.
I interrupted you about something in sports, right?
Yeah.
You know, I have a
before
lot
that,
of nerve.
Before that, you somehow fed in an audience here to cheer or something like that when I was
trying
to be serious.
I can't believe that I actually did something like that, Eric. How can you believe that I would actually do something like that? Can you believe it? I mean, all I did was just walk in here to just tell the people about sports, and this is what happens. My God, and now you're going to start Moscow late. Jesus.
What time is your show, Tony?
I don't know.
What time is your show, Tony?
Midnight.
Midnight? Mm-hmm. No, it's not. Cabret is on at midnight.
Cabret's no longer on at
midnight. Cabret is coming in. In fact, he'll be in 12 minutes.
No, he's
going to be at the
midnight.
Door.
Believe me.
What?
Do you have the door open for him?
Yes.
Okay.
He's on his way over here.
No, Cabret and I are switching time
slots. Oh, I'll ask him about that.
You can.
Yeah.
He'll tell you he's going on at 2 and I'm going on at 12.
Tony White will be on at 2 o'clock, folks. So
I'll be on at 12.
Take a careful note of what TV programs are on then.
Trust me.
Yeah, I'm sure there's hour-long commercials about various things and those 900 numbers, advertisements.
Believe me, you would save a lot of money and you would have a lot of fun tuning in at 2 a.m.
Mm-hmm.
It's the other side of midnight. What can I tell you?
The other side of lots of things, but we appreciate your trying, Tony.
Am I interrupting your show?
Well, no, I'm just trying to make an important announcement here. Now,
okay, go ahead and make the announcement.
I'll make the announcement. Hopefully I won't get interrupted again.
But before you make the announcement, please be aware that there are a lot of things happening in the world today that people would like to be informed
of. Well, I know that, and that's why we're going to be talking about that. We're on until midnight. We're going to take phone calls. 632-6901 is the telephone number, and we'll be talking about those things that are happening. But first, I just want to explain some things to the folks.
Okay, but before you explain
things are
those
going to be
things,
changing.
I think what you need to also understand very, very clearly, Eric,
Above
all, is that we are in the process of selecting a program director, too.
Yeah, if anybody out there is interested in all the fame and glory that goes with that position, What should they do? I don't know.
Stay tuned.
I guess stay tuned. But yes, we're at a time where we always sort of pass the torch on to somebody else.
What about that announcement you had to make?
Unfortunately, when we pass the torch, we usually burn the person we're giving it to, but that's part of the fun of this place.
I agree with you. Now, what about that announcement you had to make?
Okay. Next week, well, actually...
Oh, before you do that, Eric, there was something I really needed to mention to you.
We had a fist fight in the studio last week at this time. I, you know, have healed completely because I wasn't as hurt as you were. So... It doesn't bother me. I mean, I'll go to the disciplinary hearing again. I don't care. But if you continue to interrupt my program like this, I'm going to have to do something.
Eric, I agree with you. Yeah. That is rude of me.
It's extremely rude of you.
You forgive me.
I can even fade down your microphone. You can't do anything about it.
Eric, but I know you wouldn't do that because
but I
you
did
know
it.
Why.
It was
Eric,
fun.
Eric, you want to know why you wouldn't really do that?
Why?
You know, because let's face it, you need me.
Like a hole in the head. Yes.
Plenty of holes in your head, buddy. Anyway, what about that announcement?
All right. Now, it's a serious announcement, and you're making me crack up now.
Okay. Oh, go ahead, Eric.
This is the last...
Wait, did you get a chance to check out that total eclipse?
I'm not
going to
stop.
Okay? And did you get a chance to see it, Eric? Really, on CNN, it was beautiful.
I know, it was covered live.
It lasted for 8 minutes. Eric, hey, total eclipse, come on.
It was covered live on CNN. It must have been exciting.
And Eric, did you also hear how the dogs were howling?
No, the dogs were not howling.
Yes, they were.
My dog was not howling.
No, but dogs were howling, actually.
Dogs were howling at the 12 o'clock siren, I guess, but they weren't howling.
No, they really were. Believe it or not.
Right. I believe it, all right? I believe it. It'll shut you up, I
and
believe
And you know
it.
That we have a chance to see a eclipse coming up in 1994, 90% of the New York area.
Yeah, but not 90% of the sun.
No.
So what good is it? It's going to be something like 3% like yesterday was.
Eric, in 1994, you'll get a chance to see it. You should be alive by then, by the way.
Yeah, I would hope to be. It's only 3 years
away.
Now,
what about that announcement? Come on, let's get off the subject. Get to the announcement.
I'm going to turn down your mic this time so I can actually make this announcement because I want to get to Moscow Mailbag. Folks... This is the last edition of Brain Damage that you're going to be hearing for... All right. Somebody did it again. And it wasn't you this time, Tony. It wasn't you. What? It wasn't you. Why are you laughing? You know who did it, don't you?
Eric. Come on. I'm standing here, minding my own business,
but
and I'm doing absolutely nothing.
Oh, I'm trying to...
You know, Woodstock is on sale, right?
What does that have to do with anything?
Well, I'm just saying.
I'm trying to tell the people that this is the last edition.
You should really tell them how they can purchase.
I'm really getting fed up with this. Who is responsible for this? I'm making a serious announcement here. I've done a radio program here for many years, and I deserve a little bit more respect than this. Now,
you should really tell them about Woodstock being on sale, though.
Forget about Woodstock. Look, I'm going away next week.
The Love
week.
Children might be interested
I'm going
in
away
finding
for
out
the
more
next
about this.
Few weeks.
They really would.
Now, turn down your microphone. Now, the reason I didn't play Safe European Home for any particular reason, but in fact, I will be in several Safe European Homes as of next week. In fact, if everything goes as according to plan, I'll be in Nice, France a week from tonight. The sewer system of Nice, as usual. You did that with your usual style, Tommy. Yes, and voyaging all over the place. But enough of that. I'll tell you what happens after it's all over. But I don't know what's going to be happening for the next couple of weeks. You might even hear Tony White on the air at this time. Wouldn't that be something?
Well, yes, it would be. As a matter of fact, they would enjoy it better because I would be on the air and I would be actually playing them entertaining music and they would be informed. And they
No. Whoever,
like this
no,
of
this...
Let's face it, nobody really wants to hear what you have to say.
Well,
nobody really
matter.
Wants to hear what you have to do. Nobody really cares about what you're doing, Eric.
FCC
as a matter of fact, the only reason why you're on the air, Eric, is for the simple reason or another is because, let's face it, you have nothing better to do.
It looks like that microphone has just popped out of its socket, and there's nothing more I can do about it right now until we go off the air. But what happens with this slot is it's licensed by the Federal Communications Commission to be a talk show. And if we play too much music, we get in a lot of trouble. So, Tony, if you do end up doing the show, you're going to have to talk. I know that's hard for you sometimes. It's very hard for our listeners, but it's something that just has to be done.
No, it's not really hard because, let's face it, I love talking, and you know just as well as I do that every time I talk, people listen. So why not, okay? I'll be more than happy to do your show if you really need me to do your show. After all, doing your show is really, come on, brain damage? Come on, who else can do brain damage? Everybody can do brain damage, you know what I mean? Everybody has brain damage. The reason why the world is the way it is today is because everybody, in some form, some shape, some way or another.
Tony, you're breaking up. You're breaking up.
Well, I'm not really breaking up. The bottom line is that you're doing something to the, well, whatever you're doing, it's really
I'm not doing
me
anything
up. So
me.
I think right now what I really need to do is let you continue with your show, but I will get you as soon as I can. Thank you.
Well, thank you very much for being here. I'm going to be going into Moscow Mailbag because that's what we have to do. Tony, thank you for leaving. it's very nice when he does that. We have Moscow mailbag. But yes, for the next couple of weeks, we don't know what's going to be filling these airwaves. But it will be something interesting and something fun. We have call-in segments. We've got news coming up from what's been going on this week. We've got tripods at 11 o'clock. In fact, I think I might even be going to the same place they went to, which is the sewer system of Nice, which ought to be real interesting. I promised to bring back pictures and show them over the airwaves. But for now, another part of the world. Yes, another intriguing part of the world, the Soviet Union. Your questions and answers. Well, not your answers, but their answers to your questions. And hopefully you are sending questions and saying that you listen to Moscow Mailbag on WUSB, because I know there's a lot of you out there cowering in your cars listening to this program. Well, write them a letter. Say you hear it here, and then the whole world will get to hear our call letters. It'll be a lot of fun. We'll be back in about 20 minutes.
This is your program, Moscow Mailbag. And once again, here is Joe Adamov to answer your questions. The first one is from John Goldberg, Jr. of New York, who sent us a basket of questions. To win an election for president of Russia, what percent of the votes must the candidate receive?
A candidate must receive something like 50% of the votes to be elected. Well, that's the rule for electing the president of the Russian Republic.
And how do you think Mr. Yeltsin will make out at the elections?
Well, you know, since you've written the letter, the elections have taken place and the results are known to the world, actually. Mr. Yeltsin got over 57% of the votes. His nearest rival, former Prime Minister Ryshkov, got less than one-third of this number. The turnout was good, too. 70% of the eligible voters came to the polling stations. Now, here's an interesting sideline. If you compare Mr. Yeltsin's election to those of President Reagan, you'll see that Mr. Yeltsin got a much higher percentage of the votes of the eligible voters than did Mr. Reagan in both his elections. Mr. Yeltsin is a reformer. He stands for freedom of enterprises, for energetic privatization of the economy, for liberalization of prices, land to the farmers, more freedom to the republics, or sovereign nations, as we now call them. Well, I guess those are the basic planks in his platform.
Now, a couple of questions on fishing. Is fishing popular in the USSR?
Yes, there are millions of fishermen in the country, even in winter. You know, driving past a lake or a reservoir, you'll see people sitting in warm clothing next to a hole in the ice, engaged in under-ice fishing. We even hold competitions in this sport. The country, after all, you know, abounds in rivers, lakes, seas, and there are something like 250 species of fish that is good to eat. In other words, edible fish. Among them, I should mention the king of all fish, sturgeon, salmon, cod, carp, pike, pike perch, trout, bream, and yes, catfish. In Moscow region, our fishing society has about 30 fishing lodges. And of course, the delight of our fishermen is what we call ucha. It's a fish soup boiled over a campfire. Now, driving to work, I see fishermen with rods right on the banks of the Moscow River, in the very heart of the city. Where there are rivers and lakes, many people own, of course, their own motorboats to go fishing.
And do you need a fishing license?
No, you do not need a license to go fishing, but you do need a license to go hunting. We do have strict fishing rules, though. We also limit the methods of catching fish. And this is very strictly adhered to. I think I should also mention that there are zones that are completely banned for fishing. And here, if you want to go fishing, you do need a license.
Why hasn't a Soviet manned vehicle been put on the moon?
I would first like to mention that our automatic moon probes, which brought back samples of moon rock, and the moon rovers, which traveled on the surface of the moon and were driven from Earth, gave science no less than did the United States manned landings. But that does not answer your question. No one will deny the great effect that the United States landings by the Apollo crews had for prestige. No doubt, we would have liked to share in this prestige. Then why didn't we land a man on the moon? We had the technology, the know-how. Even United States sources admit this. But we did not have the powerful rocket like your Saturn. Today we have the Energia, which could launch a payload of 100 tons.
What do you expect of the G7 meeting in London?
You know, so very much has been written and said on television, over the radio on this subject, that it makes a mind boggle. I'll try to put it all very briefly. The first thing I think to stress is that it's useless to simply lend us money as such, because it'll dissolve in no time. Just giving money loans is like feeding a diabetic sugar. We have to admit foreign capital into our economy and foreign property onto our territory. Then it'll work. The West must become a participant of our changes. Invested capital must produce profit for the benefit of both sides. We are not speaking of charity, mind you. Our entry into the world economy must be mutually beneficial. The money should also be used to stabilize our currency, that is the ruble. We expect to get modern technologies to create the infrastructure for the light, the food, and processing industries. And of course, for all this to come about, we must have a government that could guarantee stability and order in the country.
Now, a line of questions from Mr. J. DeFries of Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania. I understand you have the largest jet transport in the world. Tell me all about it.
It's called the Antonov 225, otherwise known as the Mriya. It has a wingspan of 290 feet and is 250 feet long. Its six engines allow for a takeoff weight of 600 tons. Fantastic. Its speed is around 500 miles an hour, and it has a payload of 250 tons. You know, 80 automobiles can easily fit into its hold. There are special mounts for non-standard cargoes on the top of the fuselage. When it took our space shuttle, the Buran, on its back for the air show in Paris, it reminded me of a monkey carrying its baby on its back.
Are there many gypsies in the Soviet Union?
Oh, yes. We have around 200,000. Today, they live a settled way of life. But though we have a gypsy theater here in Moscow called Romen, which is very popular with everybody in the Soviet Union, and a gypsy cultural center, many problems of gypsy culture and life still remain unsolved. We have quite a lot of people of gypsy origin, very well known in the country, such as Doctor of Pedagogical Sciences Demeter. Another gypsy is a military engineer. We have a well-known gypsy lawyer in Odessa. Gypsy children go to school like all other children in the country. Some of our gypsies have merited the highest military awards during the war. And, of course, what the gypsies are famous for, not only here but throughout the world, are their wonderful songs and music. And gypsy songs may be heard all around the world, from Australia to Madrid. And by the way, did you know that gypsies originally came from India?
What is this I hear about Mr. Shevardnadze undergoing investigation for wanting to organize a Democratic Party opposed to the Communist Party?
You see, no sooner did Shevardnadze say it would be useful to organize a Democratic Party in our country parallel with the Communist Party, no sooner did he say this than the Party Control Commission decided to hold a party investigation. This is in line, a conservative paper explains, with the fight against inner party deviation. The paper accuses Shevardnadze of bringing our foreign policy to a state of catastrophe, don't you see? Meaning, we set free Eastern Europe. But after all, this is just what the Nobel Peace Prize was awarded for to President Gorbachev. So how do they explain that? Shevardnadze says, I was deliberating on the fate of democracy, on building a government based on law, and I voiced my opinions, he says. And what do you get? An investigation. One of the papers wrote that this smacks of the very bad days of the 30s, of Stalin's days. Chairman Lindsay stressed that time and again, people have said that democratization should begin in the party. To oppose the hardliners and conservatives, Shevardnadze believes, and to rule out a return to totalitarianism, we must create a party that would unite all the democratic forces. And he says our biggest victory, perhaps, is that people in America today believe us when we say we have no intention to go to war with America. Shevardnadze is right about the hardliners. He's right about forming a democratic party. But, you know, my personal opinion, I would not pay much attention to this investigation business.
How many people own cars in the Soviet Union?
About 14 million. That's about every sixth family. But as someone who's driven a car through 41 Russian winters, let me say it's become one big pain in the neck. Lubricating oil is scarce, to say the least. And recently I paid something like six times the original price for an oil change. Oil filters for my Volga are as rare as Siamese twins. Any spare part becomes an insurmountable problem. At 1 a.m, I stood 40 minutes at a gas station to fill up. And that's at 1 a.m. The price of a new car in a commission store, what we call, is 4 to 5 times the original price. And yet, there are people willing to pay.
Do you have horse races?
You know, when I was in Australia, I remember I surprised the people there at a racetrack when I told them we had over 100 racetracks in the Soviet Union. Yes, and there is betting. We have totalizers. We go in for, what do we do, trotting races, flat races with drivers in sulkies, you know, with bicycle-type wheels. We go in for the steeplechase and also compete in horsemanship. I think they call it dressage. Now, if you go down into our republics, you'll find various ethnic types of equestrian sports. We hold national competitions of rural horsemen, but we have no rodeos, though our circus performers will show fantastic skills of horsemanship. I suppose you'd be interested to know that at regular auctions, our stud farms sell horses to buyers from many countries of the world. Some fetch very high prices. And today, women take part in such difficult events as the steeplechase. Yes, and finally, we have had, in our time, Olympic champions in horsemanship.
And the last question is, what is your divorce rate?
The number of divorces registered annually is about 1/3 of the number of marriages registered every year. But this does not mean that every third marriage ends up on the rocks, because most of those that divorce were married earlier, don't you see? Only about 3% file for divorce the same year they get married, only 3%. And over 1 million men and women remarry every year. We're told that men are more likely to remarry than women. And over 50% of the widowed or divorced men remarry within 10 years, while only 25% of our women remarry. The usual cause for a divorce is what they call incompatibility of characters, whatever that may mean. In other words, they just can't get along.
That was Joe Adamov answering your questions on Moscow Mailbag. Address your letters to Radio Moscow, Moscow, the USSR. You couldn't do better than write us that letter. Your comments on the show are always welcome. A reminder, Mailbag is on the air every Saturday, Sunday, and Wednesday. On the East Coast at 2310 and 0210 UTC. On the West Coast at 0410 and 0610 UTC.
And I'm sorry to say, Moscow Mailbag will not be on next week either. And we'll be back, though, in several weeks. So write your questions in now, and maybe you'll hear them several weeks from now when we once again air Moscow Mailbag. Well, what do you know? We're going back to the same album. We'll also be taking your phone calls. 632-6901. Screaming Target with the song Blood and Stars. Yeah, from first and only record, Hometown Hi-Fi. And you heard it here on WUSB in Stony Brook. It's 14 minutes to 11 o'clock. The program is Brain Damage. And it's time to take a serious look at the news. It's your problem when they turn the heat on here. You have to try to read the news with the fan on. And lots of times the news blows away. It's just very embarrassing. So we're going to try to take precautions against that. All right. Here's the news. 3 days of talks between Secretary of State James Baker and Soviet Foreign Minister Alexander Birsh. Why do they always do this to me? Birshmitnik. Yeah, the Schmiertek. I've never said that one before. He's never been here before. How do you pronounce B-Y-E-H-S? That's the pronunciation guide. That's not the way it's spelled. It's spelled B-E-S-S. I can pronounce that a lot better. Why don't I just do that? Besmertinik. Well, that's not too far off, I don't think. Besmertinik. I'll pronounce it the way it looks. Have so far failed to yield an arms agreement. Earlier today, the two agreed to continue discussions at the State Department this evening in an attempt to resolve obstacles to a treaty slashing Soviet and American arsenals of long-range nuclear missiles. A breakthrough in the talks could pave the way for a Moscow summit. Do you think the day will ever come when there's no more need for summits? You know, if they say, if they reach a breakthrough here, it's all over, peace will break out, and there's no more? There's no money in that, though. Yeah, we know. Soviet President Mikhail Gorbachev and President Bush are likely to discuss any remaining differences on the arms issue when they meet in London next week. Bush, who's to represent the U.S. at an economic summit of the world's top industrialized nations, leaves tomorrow on a trip that will culminate in London. Gorbachev will be in the British capital to outline his latest economic reform plan to summit leaders. The Bush administration is sending what might be called veiled threats to Iraq. In an interview broadcast on CNN, National Security Advisor Brent Scowcroft said the U.S. is reviewing options to force Iraq to reveal and destroy its nuclear weapons capability. You think if they just dropped all the nuclear bombs over like another country, that would satisfy everybody? Well, you said get rid of them, didn't you? Maybe you would have been a misunderstanding or something. Scowcroft stopped short of saying specifically that military options are in the works. The head of an international inspection team in Iraq says he expects the government to hand over a list of its nuclear facilities on Sunday. Yesterday, the UN warned Iraq to disclose its nuclear capabilities by July 25th or face serious consequences. Iraq has asked for an emergency meeting of the Arab League to discuss the issue. About 6,000 people turned out in Bath, Maine today for the christening of the last Aegis-class cruiser built at Bath Iron Works. Senate Majority Leader George Mitchell, the ceremony's keynote speaker, told the audience that despite a diminishing Soviet threat, a strong Navy remains vital to the nation's defense. About 20 demonstrators protested nearby. An American Airlines jet with 225 people aboard returned to Los Angeles early Saturday after a warning light falsely indicated an engine overheating shortly after takeoff. Composer Henry Mancini, who was among the passengers en route to Boston, said passengers seemed to be in control despite the urgent turnaround. The DC-10 landed safely, but several people were slightly injured sliding down emergency chutes. A replica of Christopher Columbus's ship, the Santa Maria, set sail today from Barcelona, Spain, to Japan. Okay, it's going to be an interesting route. The original destination of Columbus and other 15th century explorers who were seeking a new trade route was Japan, well, Asia. They were trying to find Asia, and they found us instead. The trip is one of many events planned to commemorate the 500th anniversary of the explorers' first journey to the Western Hemisphere in 1492. Actually, to say they found us is grossly wrong. I'm well aware of that because none of us were around or anywhere near the place. What else? Oh, Quail Watch. We have a quail bulletin. Vice President Dan Quayle had his political hands full in New York City on Friday. In an appearance before hundreds of Big Apple bigwigs, the vice president was peppered with angry questions and accusations about cuts in federal aid to the city. He defended Washington's contribution, saying it's actually increased in the past couple of years. And the Veep deflected some of the heat with humor. When TV personality Barbara Walters urged Quayle to take a leadership role in helping cities, Quayle asked if everyone in the back of the room had heard the question. When people roared back they hadn't, the vice president replied, "Barbara Walters said, Mr. Vice President, you are doing one outstanding job." yes, okay. Take a look at the weather and then get into a couple other things. It's currently 22 degrees Celsius, and it's 72 on the Fahrenheit scale. By the way, our phone number is 632-6901, in case I hadn't mentioned that. We are taking phone calls at any time now. We're expecting it to be, well, chance of showers and a few thunderstorms likely until around midnight. Otherwise, it's going to be cloudy, low in the mid-60s, winds south becoming northwest, around 10 miles per hour. Chance of rain, 70%. Sunday, increasing sunshine and warm. High will be around 80. Again, 22 Celsius. And what did I say that was? 22 Celsius, 72 on the Fahrenheit scale. And we're going to be talking about the film that came out. I guess it came out... Did it come out yesterday? Did it come out a couple of days earlier? I'm not sure. Boys in the Hood. I'll read the Associated Press story first. And after 11 o'clock, we're going to get into this in a bit more detail. What I was afraid was going to happen happened. The news blew over to the other side here. But fortunately, I have a backup copy. Okay, the director of Boys in the Hood says his film about growing up in a crime-riddled Los Angeles neighborhood was intended to encourage peace, not bloodshed. But violence marked the movie's debut last night at theaters across the nation. One moviegoer died and more than 20 others were injured. In fact, some of the injuries took place locally. That's right, locally at the Comac Theater, I believe. Let's get on the blower here and see if it's actually playing over there. This information. We know they listen to us.
New York telephone, Jimmy.
Yes, hello. We need the number for the Comac multiplex where they show pictures.
Movies?
Yeah, that's it.
The number is 462-6953.
Listen to that talking.
462-6953. If you need further assistance, a directory assistance operator will return.
Listen to the crosstalk. Ah, it sounds like they're talking in Spanish or something like that. But that's not what we're here to listen to. We shouldn't listen to people over the air. Let's find out if that film is in fact playing and what time it's playing so people can get a good seat for all the mayhem. Well, maybe they can.
Showing at 7:30.
Our first show every day is a bargain matinee. Every seat just $3.75.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
General admission price is $6.75.
We don't care.
Children 11 and under are just $3.75 at all times.
Can you believe the price of movies these days?
$3.75 for all shows except Friday and Saturday after 6. If you missed any part of this announcement, please stay on the line and it will automatically repeat itself. If you need additional information, please call 462-6952. That's 462-6952 during normal business hours. Thanks again for calling the Comac Multiplex Cinemas.
Here goes the automatic device.
Thank you for calling the Comac Multiplex Cinemas. We're conveniently located off the Long Island Expressway at exit 52 North on Comac Road in Comac. Please arrive early because no tickets will be sold once the performance is started. Our features and showtimes for Saturday include Robin Hood, Prince of Thieves, rated PG-13, showing at 12:45, 3:45, 7 o'clock, 9:55, and 12:30. The Rocketeer, rated PG, showing at 12:15, 2:35, 4:50, 7:10, 9:30, and 11:45. Backdraft, rated R, showing at 1:15 and 7:20. Jungle Fever, rated R, showing at 4:10, 10:05, and 12:30. 101 Dalmatians, rated G, showing at 1:15, 3:10, 5:05, and 7 o'clock. Thelma and Louise, rated R, showing at 9 o'clock and 11:35. Problem Child 2, rated PG-13, showing at 1 o'clock, 3:05, 5:10, 7:15, 9:30, and 11:30. Dying Young, rated R, showing at 12:25, 2:55, 5:20, 10:15, and 12:25. Point Break, rated R.
This is ridiculous.
1:50, 4:30, 7:10, 9:55, and 12:20. Naked Gun 2.5, rated PG-13, showing at 1 o'clock, 1:35, 3 o'clock, 3:35, 5 o'clock.
Do you remember when there was one film playing?
7:10, 7:45, 9:15, 9:50, 11:15, and 11:50. Regarding Henry, rated PG-13, showing at 12:05, 2:35, 5:05, 7:40, 10:10, and 12:20. Terminator 2, Judgment Day, showing in two theaters, rated R, showing at 1 o'clock, 1:30, 4 o'clock, 4:30, 7:05, 7:25, 9:50, 10:10.
Terminator 2 didn't cause any riots, did it?
City Slickers, showing in two separate theaters, rated PG-13.
How many theaters do they have?
12:05, 12:35, 2:30, 3 o'clock, 4:55, 5:25, 7:20, 8 o'clock, 9:55, 10:25, 12:10, and 12:30. Boys in the Hood, rated R, showing at 12 noon, 2:20, 4:40, 7:05, 9:30, and 12 midnight. And a sneak preview of Dutch.
Okay, it's a 12 midnight show. That's the one where there's going to be trouble, I'll bet. It's always those late night shows. You know, it's a midnight show that that somebody got shot at in, I think, in Chicago last night. So, I don't know. I haven't seen the film yet. So if anyone out there has seen the film, give us a call after 11 o'clock and we'll be talking about that as well as other things. And, there's all kinds of controversy out there. But this is something that the media has really latched upon. And I happen to have right here something that somebody sent me a few weeks ago. Hear this? That's a book. And this book is entitled Boys in the Hood. That's not actually a book. It's a press release. And it's got all the information about the film here. So we'll be looking at that and seeing just what caused everybody to go nuts. I think we got pictures, but we can't show those on the radio. 632-6901 is our telephone number. We're going to go into a little bit of music. And then hear the next exciting adventure of the tripods. And then back to the phones. 632-6901.
Put your neck up on this over then for
Thank you. Radio Free Long Island, with the express written consent of the Three Village Tobacco Farms, proudly presents the episodes of the Tripod Family, the story of one of America's most illustrious families and their struggle to find peace and happiness in the suburbs of Long Island. This week we rejoin Howard, Kathy, and their friend Boris as they have just left the sewer system of Nice, France, and entered some sort of a cage that houses an angry cougar, and we hear Howard's... Now, the thing to do in a case like this is just remain calm. Don't let it show if you're frightened or upset or anything like that.
That is correct, Mr. Tripod. If we begin to panic, then the beast may feel threatened by our presence here.
Yes, we have to figure out the easiest way out of here, that's for sure. And we better do it soon.
Is there still a way out, Howard?
Of course there is, Kathy. But don't be so pessimistic. After all, we just came in, didn't we? So it stands to reason that if we can come in, then we can go out.
Oh, don't be so certain, Mr. Tripod. I have a strong suspicion that that there trap door, which we just now came through, is a one-way passage.
But that doesn't make any sense.
Oh, but it does, Mr. Tripod. Whoever is responsible for the maintenance of this here beast would most certainly not want it to go through that there door and roam all throughout the sewer system of Nice, France, from which we just emerged.
Well, could you check anyway, Boris?
All right, I will. There. It is just as I suspected. This here door done be locked.
Rats. I'll tell you, we have the absolute worst luck.
I'll see. We keep getting into jams. But no peanut butter.
My goodness. I think we've upset him.
That is incorrect, Mr. Tripod.
Well, it certainly seems like he's upset, doesn't it?
You're right about that, but you're dead wrong when you refer to the cougar as a he. It is most certainly of the female persuasion.
Does that really matter, Boris? We've got to get out of here. I won't tolerate having Kathy frightened like this.
You look rather pale yourself, Mr. Tripod.
Never mind that. Let's just look for a way out of here. He seems to be... I mean, she seems to be getting closer.
Oh, look, up there. There's a ladder. And it goes to a ledge. Do you see it?
What? No. No, I don't. Where is it, Kathy?
Look, over there, on the other side of the room. Right by that elephant over there.
Wow. I didn't see him before. How many animals are in here, anyway?
I hear birds. And I think I hear a monkey, in addition.
Well, what kind of place is this, anyway, that we stumbled into? Oh, look, a duck.
It would appear to be an underground wildlife sanctuary. There are not too many of them left in the Western Hemisphere, although.
Well, regardless of how many there are left, I, for one, would be very happy to get out of this crazy place. How about you, Kathy?
Oh, I'm with you, Howard. I want to get back home to our happy suburban house on Long Island as soon as possible.
Well, then let's head for that ladder right away.
My friends, let us exercise caution. That ladder is all the way across the other side of this here vast chamber. There are probably 10 or more large animals in our path. We're going to have to play our cards just right. Do you catch my drift?
I understand you quite well, Boris. It's a risk we're just going to have to take.
What in the world was that?
It sounded like a dramatic theme.
Well, why would there be a dramatic theme in this room?
I don't know.
Did you just say something dramatic?
Well, all I said was, it's a risk we're just going to have to take.
Well, that does sound a little dramatic.
Well, even if it is, Kathy, there's no reason for us to hear music.
Oh, look out, Howard! One of those strange animals is coming straight at you!
Oh. Why, hello. How are you?
What are you doing, Howard?
It can't hurt to be a little friendly, Kathy. My, you're a big fellow, aren't you? What's your name?
Friends, I believe we are finally going bonkers.
And so Howard, Kathy, and their friend Boris remain trapped in a strange place with strange animals. You want to be with us next time when we hear Kathy say...
How dare you call my husband bonkers?
That's next time on the exciting adventures of the Tripod Family, presented in conjunction with Radio Free Long Island and the Three Village Tobacco Farms. This is Don Topeka.
Bye.
You know, I don't know why, but I can't stop listening to this record. I haven't heard it in about 5 years, but Julie's been working in the drug squad. By The Clash, Give Him Enough Rope. That's the one with the guy and the horse with the red flag, you know, the picture from China and all that. Really neat. Really neat. Well, somebody suggested something during the break, and boy, what an exciting adventure of the tripods that was, but that's the last one you're going to be hearing for a while, because, well, I'm the only one that knows where to get them, let's put it that way, and no one else is going to be able to get them while I'm gone, and in fact, I will be in Nice, and I will see if there actually is an underground wildlife sanctuary there. Quite a story. So they will be back in a few weeks, but somebody called up and suggested a better number to call, and it's a non-dial-it service number, but it tells you where all the films are playing. So we can find out where Boys in the Hood is playing all over the place. It's this easy. Watch.
Hello, and welcome to Movie Phone, brought to you by Hot 97 and New York Magazine.
All right, Hot 97.
This summer, Ice Cube is too hot to handle.
We got a problem here?
And too cool to miss. Ice Cube as Doughboy and Larry Fishburne as Furious. Boys in the Hood. Rated R. Now playing at theaters everywhere.
If you know the name of the movie you'd like to see, press 1. To select from a list of current movies, press 2. To find out what's playing at a particular theater, press 3. Or for helpful hints on how to use Movie Phone, press 4. Enter now.
We're going to press 1 because we know.
Using your touch-tone keypad, please enter the first 3 letters of the movie title now.
Okay, that would be B-O-Y, boy.
You have selected Boys in the Hood, rated R. To find the theaters nearest you showing your movie selection, press 1. Or to choose another area where your movie is playing, press 2. Enter now.
Let's choose the ones near us.
Please enter your 5-digit zip code now.
Ooh, okay. It'd be 11794.
Your selection, Boys in the Hood, is playing at United Artists Movies at Corum, Routes 25 and 112 in Corum. Today's remaining show times are 12 o'clock. Your selection is also playing at National Amusements Comac Multiplex, Exit 52, north of Live. Today's remaining show times are 12 o'clock. For additional theaters showing your movie selection, press 1.
Okay,
to participate in this week's movie survey and be entered in our drawing for free movie passes, press 2. To find out what's happening on Hot 97 and in New York Magazine, press 3. Or to return to the main menu, press the star key.
Let's find out now. Okay, all right, shut up. Let's find out where more of them are.
Your selection is also playing at United Artists Movies at Patchogue, 600 Sunrise Highway. Today's remaining show times are 12:15. Your selection is also playing at National Amusements Brookhaven Multiplex, South Service Road, Exit 64. Today's remaining show times are 12 o'clock. For additional theaters showing your movie selection, press 1.
Let's do it.
Your selection is also playing at United Artists Meadowbrook, 2549 Hempstead Turnpike. Today's remaining show times are 11:50. Your selection is also playing at United Artists Westbury Drive-In, Bush Hollow Road. Today's remaining show times are 11:45. To select another movie, press 1.
We ran out of options.
In our drawing for free movie passes, press 2.
Okay, we don't need any of that stuff. So there you go, folks. Since this film causes so many riots, there's a possibility of like 8 riots tonight in Long Island alone. What an amazing place. Okay, our number is 632-6901. The question is, do you think films can cause riots? Or is it just people at it again? 516-632-6901. Good evening, you're on the air.
Hello, Eric. How you doing?
How are you?
This is Flora from Greenwood.
How are you?
Good. Excellent. It's kind of funny because I never saw the movie, but I was a barmaid in a bar called The Neighborhood, and I know the boys from the hood.
You do?
Excellent.
Uh-huh.
Get it? So you're going on a vacay, huh?
Yes, I'm going away next week.
Bonjour, mes amis, comment allez-vous?
Well, a little bit, but not as much as I need to.
Handbook by your side.
Well, I don't like to carry handbooks, but I guess sometimes it's important.
Okay. Tell Tony Baloney I said he was a good sport, and so how are we doing tonight?
We're doing okay. We're doing just fine. But now, let me ask you, do you think films like this can cause riots? I mean, there are riots all over, not riots, but
No comment,
fights.
Actually, because I never saw the film.
Uh-huh. But do you think films in general can do this?
Sure. Sure. Why not?
So...
Anything goes right.
Well, we've got the situation where there are all these fights all throughout the country. Do you think the film should be shut down or anything like that?
Oh, absolutely not.
Why is that?
Freedom of speech.
Uh-huh.
Why not?
Okay. Sounds fair enough to me.
Yep.
All right, let's see what other people have to say.
Okay, can I have a song request?
Sure, but I don't know if I'll play it, but I'll pass it along.
How about two?
Sorry?
My number one request is Suicidal Tendencies.
Okay.
Visualize, please.
Well, that's a good selection, I'll say that.
Telcom Lions this night.
I'll see what I can do.
Get them both, I love you forever.
Okay, take care. 632-6901, area code 516. Phone lines are wide open. I guess everybody's out seeing the film. Here's what the press release says here. Product information. Can't believe I have this. Boys in the Hood, a powerful drama about coming of age in black urban America, marks the feature film writing and directing debut of 23-year-old John Singleton. It tells a poignant story about the community where Singleton was raised, of three friends growing up in the South Central Los Angeles neighborhood, and a street life where friendship, pain, danger, and love combine to form reality. The film caused considerable stir at the Cannes Film Festival this May, where it debuted as an official festival selection and became one of the standouts of the two-week event. It is produced by Steve Nicolades, or something like that, who did Misery and When Harry Met Sally. Starring in the roles of the three friends are rap recording artist Ice Cube, who makes his acting debut as Doughboy, Cuba Gooding Jr., who plays Trey, and Morris Chestnut, who plays Ricky. Larry Fishburne, who is in King of New York in School Days, stars as Furious Styles, Trey's father. The film's title is taken from a cut written by Ice Cube on the first album from best-selling Compton rap group N.W.A. Ice Cube has since gained worldwide attention through his platinum-selling solo album, America KKK's Most Wanted, a streetwise motion picture soundtrack for Boys in the Hood, featuring a number of urban contemporary musical artists, is being released on Quest Records. South Central Los Angeles has a reputation fueled considerably by media coverage that precedes itself, and while the day-to-day drama lived by its residents serves as the backdrop for this picture, the film is principally about boys turning into men, Singleton says. 632-6901, good evening.
Oh.
What's up?
What do you want to talk about? I was talking about the last girl that called.
Talking about the last girl that called. I'd rather talk about what we're talking about, but go ahead.
Yeah, she made a good request.
Uh-huh.
Tendencies.
And where are you calling from, sir?
Huntington.
Huntington. Okay, well, I'll pass that along to the powers here.
Want to talk to me about this movie?
Yeah, well, what's your opinion on it?
No problem. Hey, play it, show it, whatever.
Uh-huh.
I think it's like a racial movie.
Why do you think these fights are breaking out all over the country?
It's like rap music or something, I guess, is involved in it.
Yeah, but does rap music cause people to do this kind of thing?
Happens at concerts all the time, you know.
Happens at rap concerts? But why? Explain to me why it happens.
No, I'm a metalhead, you know, but I know, like, you know.
Well, we all know how peaceful metalheads are.
No, we're not peaceful either, but, you know. Like, the rap music, like, they're, like, very, you know, violent and, you know. Am I right?
Well, I don't know. That's what I'm trying to find out.
Yeah, it gets violent because of the crack and everything else. You know, they're crackheads. They're doing crack and coke and all that shit, you know.
Do you think that's what goes on at a rap concert?
Yeah.
Well, I'd like to hear from some people that have been to rap. Have you ever been to a rap concert?
I mean, I'm into thrash. That's why when that girl called up and said suicidal tendencies, I'm like, yeah.
Right. Well, okay, you've made that pretty clear then, so I'll see what I can do about that. Thanks for your opinions. Our phone number is 632-6901. Good evening.
Hi.
How you doing?
I'm okay. How are you?
Okay.
I have a question before we get into the movie thing.
You're calling locally, aren't you? You're in Stony Brook or Setauket, right?
No.
No? Okay. Just a wild guess because of the hum.
No, I just happen to have the radio sitting next to me.
I don't think that'll do it. That sounds like a Stony Brook hum, but I guess I'm wrong. Okay, what did you have to say?
Well, you remember, I think it was back in October, there was that thing with the Brookhaven Pine Barrens?
Yes.
Whatever happened with that?
With the Brookhaven Pine Barrens? That's a good question, actually. I haven't heard anything recently on the... you talk about the mall, right?
Yeah.
I haven't heard anything recently on the mall. I don't know where that stands. It might be tied up in court, but I do know there's a major threat to the Setauket Pine Barrens. They want to build shopping centers all over them, and that's right between South Setauket and Port Jefferson.
And I know our county legislator, Steve Englebright, is up in arms about that. And I'm not quite sure where to begin fighting this one, but I think there is something springing up to battle it. I suggest people, contact legislators and other elected officials to find out what it is they can do and, start having impromptu demonstrations there, for rush hour traffic, get people's attention. That's right on the Sconset Highway.
Well, I think that's a good idea.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's more than a good idea. It's something that I think we're obligated to do because, we certainly don't need any more shopping centers around here. We've got everything we could possibly want and a lot more than what we want. Yet they want to just keep building over every stretch of green they can find. And that's it's already hurt us, the degree that they've done it already. But it's going to hurt us so much more, and it's really going to be crippling us, in effect, in a very short time if we don't stop it.
All I've got to say is if they lived on the planet alone, I'd be quite happy to let them do what they want and see where it gets them. But they just don't seem to realize that they don't live on the planet alone.
Yeah, exactly. I'd like to give developers a planet of their own. That's actually, that'd be a good name for a song. But I'd like to do that and just see what they do. And then maybe then after they completely destroy that place, we can bring them back and say, okay, now do you understand? And maybe we can all live happily.
Wait, what would be a good name for a song? Maybe I'll write it.
I'd like to give developers a planet of their own. It has sort of a melodic ring to it.
Maybe then you'll hear it on Brain Damage some other time.
Maybe I will. I can hear it already, though. You have any opinion on this film?
Well, personally, I haven't seen the film yet.
Uh-huh.
But films in general, I remember when I saw Heathers about... Are you familiar with the movie Heathers?
Yeah, I've seen that. That certainly didn't cause any riots.
No, it didn't cause riots, but I know it had a lot of people sitting back and, seriously contemplating. It did cause, out in Illinois, I believe it was, a girl did murder her two best friends. She poisoned them with rat poison.
Are you serious? Wow.
On Entertainment Tonight.
Uh-huh.
Not Entertainment Tonight, Current Affair. Entertainment Tonight, what am I talking about?
Well, what's the difference? I mean, what is the difference between those two shows? You tell me.
That's true.
One's on Channel 2 and one's on Channel 5, right? I think that's the only difference there is.
That's true, but still, it's very interesting to hear that somebody could even consider that.
Uh-huh.
I'll put it to you this way. There was somebody who I was very mad at for a while, and I was seriously considering hanging them in their room.
Well, now, you can't just hang somebody in their room. I mean, you've got to get permission from them to do that, unless they're unconscious or something. Even then, they become very heavy.
That's true.
Yeah. I don't know this from experience. I've just, read some books.
Okay.
All right. So we have a late-breaking story that Tony White has brought in. So I'm going to read that, and thank you very much for calling up. Where are you calling from, by the way?
I'm calling from West Islip. I don't know if you remember me.
Well, refresh my memory.
Jeff Rossin?
Sorry?
I was a friend of Jeff Rossin.
Whatever happened to Jeff?
Who cares?
Yeah, well, I mean, I guess not too many people care, but we're curious.
He's listening right now, so he knows exactly how I feel about him.
I'm sorry?
I said I hope he's listening right now so he knows exactly how I feel.
I doubt he's listening because once he stopped doing the news here at USB, there's no reason for him to listen to us. So I'm sure he has not, he doesn't even remember where we are in the dial.
Oh, I never forgot.
Wow. But yes, I do remember you, in fact. I do remember you. But the last time I talked to you, you didn't have his horrible hum on the phone.
Well, like I said, I'm sitting right next to the radio. There's that. There's the fact that this phone sucks.
Yeah, I don't think it's that so much. I think it's the phone line you got. I think this is all New York Telephone's fault.
Well, my bell go to hell,
Yeah, that's an induction type of a thing. And I'll bet if you just were to call on a different, just pick up and call again, you get a much better line. That's what I would think.
Oh, that's true. Are you going to be doing any other, any other shocking news stories tonight? Riot?
Well, what would you suggest? I don't really have any other shocking stories. I do have a stupid question I'm going to be getting to in a little while.
The stupid question?
Well, I can't tell you what the stupid question is until I do it. That's the whole fun of it.
Can I call back?
Sure. Yeah, considering the phone lines are wide open, you can keep calling as often as you want. But, and please encourage other people to call, too. Because this is my last show for a while, and I don't want to go away feeling lonely.
Yeah, when are you coming back?
We'll be a couple of weeks. A few weeks. Month tops.
That's going to take all the fun out of my Saturday night.
Well, it's probably going to liven mine up quite a bit. I don't know. I don't know exactly what's going to happen. But I will let everybody know exactly what I did.
I'm serious. Me and my friends, we sit around on Saturday nights, just between 11 and 12. We party, and then we listen to you.
Yeah? Well, do you call up?
What?
Do you call up every week?
No, we can't always, because sometimes we're out on my boat.
Oh, you have a boat?
Yes.
Wow.
Yeah, I live right on the water, right on the bay.
Boy, I'm envious. But we won't get into that. Anyway, I should read this late-breaking news story, so maybe we'll hear from you later.
All right. By the way, what was that Suicidal Tendency song?
What was the Suicidal Tendency song? I wrote it down, but it's underneath all these other papers now. But we're going to try to get to it, but we can't guarantee anything because this is not a musical show. But Suicidal Tendencies are cool. I know that.
Okay, but if you do get a minute to play Institutionalized, I'd love it.
Yeah, that's my favorite, actually.
That is a good song, and it's another thing that stirred up a lot of feelings in me.
Well, you know, it's good when things stir up feelings. Well, actually, this record I keep playing now, that stirred up feelings in me, and that's why I sort of was playing that all the time. Plus, I don't have to run up and get other records, too.
What, that Clash? That Clash? Record?
Yeah, probably sounds like, you know, vintage music to you, but, you know, it's filled with rebellion.
Excuse me, I happen to like the Clash very much.
Well, that's good. That shows that you're a cultured person.
I am a cultured person.
Good.
I'd like to think I am.
Well, I think you are, too. If you appreciate the Clash, there's nothing more that you need to be cultured.
That's cool.
Yeah. All right, I have to read this story and, take some more phone calls later. Thanks for calling.
Sure.
Be good.
Who?
632-6901, area code 516. I don't know where everybody is tonight. You know, I don't know where everybody is this whole summer. I think everybody just went away on a communal camping trip or something. But I want to hear from people because I'm not going to be here next week or the week after that or probably even the week after that. So, you know, sure would be nice to know there's people out there. Now, here's that story that the AP finally, after about 24 hours, decided to print. Dated Commack, Long Island. Suffolk County police say a Long Island teen was stabbed by two different attackers in the lobby of a theater showing the new film Boys in the Hood. 19-year-old Leroy Delaney of Brentwood was in stable condition at community hospital following yesterday's stabbing at the Commack Cinema. I'm not sure if that's the same as the Commack Multiplex, which is what we just call it. I think it is, but if I'm wrong, somebody please correct me. Anyway, no arrests were made in the incident. According to police, Delaney was leaving the theater after the late showing of the movie when he was stabbed in the abdomen. Police said that as he attempted to flee, a second person stabbed Delaney in the back. There were reports of violence from around the country at showings of Boys in the Hood, which portrays the dead-end world of gangs and violence. And what we're asking tonight is, why? Why does a film... we can't say this is a coincidence. I mean, it's got to have something to do with the film. It's got to have something to do with the film. Now, how we react to that, that's where we differ. But I really don't think it's debatable as to... they had people on the radio today. I was listening to the news radio. And they had the most stupid people on saying things like, well, you know, this is just... this is just some kind of white trick to keep the black people down. I mean, you know, I'm following all the white tricks to keep black people down, but this is not one of them where people attack other people and get stabbed and that kind of thing. I mean, reporting that, what's that? Supposed to be a trick of some sort? No, that happened. It really happened. Now we have to figure out why it happened and prevent it from happening again. I don't think that that stopping the showing, I haven't heard anybody say that seriously, that they should not show this film. I don't think that's an answer, and I really don't think very many people do think that's an answer. But we would like to know what people out there think about this. A couple more paragraphs on this, and we'll go back to the phones. Shot entirely on location in South Central L.A., the film aims to give the first true picture of what life is like in the L.A. hood. It was not uncommon during production for... rooms.
Are you going to France, right?
Yes.
Hey, have a good one for me, too.
I'll try to do that. I will try to get that song on for you.
That lady, if she didn't hear me, who remembered the song that I requested by Suicidal Tendencies?
Well, I remembered it, too. I mean, Institutionalized is a classic.
Song.
All right.
Good song. You going to play it?
I'll try. Thanks for calling.
All of us that are listening to you, and I got lots of friends, you know what I'm saying?
Well, tell them to call, because nobody's calling.
Well, everybody that's called that I've heard wants to hear the song.
Okay, yes, I'll give you that, but let's see who else is out there. Thanks for calling. 632-6901. Tony, you stumbled in here for a reason, I hope.
No, I didn't.
Well, what the hell are you doing in this room?
It's sad enough that I have to look at you.
Yeah, right. Well, go ahead, sir.
30 more minutes of you. God, you know there was a no-hitter tonight?
Where are there? Well, you guys could come in here with sports updates. So what are you going to do, Tony?
Well,
you're going to mock
it this
me?
Way.
I'm not getting any phone calls
here. All the called up thus far have asked for music. Doesn't that tell you something, Eric?
It does tell me something.
Doesn't that tell you to shut up and play the songs that they want to hear?
I should stay over there.
Why can't you play the songs that they want to hear? Why?
I think I'm going to play. I'm going to stay over there and maybe take the train out into Asia, too.
I think you should play the music that they want to hear.
You know the films come out.
There is a reason why people want to hear the music that they want to hear, so play it for them.
Okay, I'm going to ask you to go get the record then. But you know the films...
I knew he was going to do this.
Films come out later in Europe sometimes than they do here.
Why did I bother to come in here if I knew...
What I'm
going to
do is, I'm going to go
song, Eric. If you tell me
to South London and
tell me the name of the group,
be there when it comes out.
I will go and get the
album. Yeah, go get Suicidal Tendencies.
No, why don't you write it down?
You can't remember
Suicidal
Tendencies?
Because I want this record played before you go off the air. These people want to hear this song, and I really want you to play this. This is your last show before you come back. Until you come back. Thank God for that. So why don't you just do that for them?
Anthony White? Shut up. Now, listen. Suicidal Tendencies, institutionalized. Just remember where you're supposed to be. Okay?
Good. Eric, I'm going to
That's easy
every
enough.
Bone in your body.
632-6901. Area code 516. Good evening.
Yes, concerning Boys in the Hood.
Yes.
The rap movies. I heard someone say in the news that the films do not cause violence, but they attract violent people.
Ah, good distinction. Good distinction. Okay.
I think that holds true. Like you go see Rambo, you get a lot of like guys come in, so that you know they relate to it. You know, they're kind of like, you know, high energy people, so they go to see a high energy movie. Violent people will probably go see a violent movie, et cetera, et cetera.
Okay. Now, what do you think should be done about it then?
Well, you can't control people, but you know, taking a movie out of a theater, you know, that's wrong. But, you know, somehow we got to install these values into people and not be so violent. Because everywhere you go today in the news, it just occurs everywhere and it's accepted all the time. And
so,
it's frustrating to see.
So we have a film that appeals to people that are violent or are in gangs, something like that. And when you get a group of people like that together in a room, problems are going to break out. So apparently this wasn't anticipated by security people. I heard several complaints that they just weren't doing enough to stop this. They could see that people were rather dangerous walking into the theater. They were dressed in gang outfits and things like that. And that should have been enough to clue them in that something could erupt, but they just weren't prepared for that.
And a lot of people like to talk about race on this issue, and I read a book called The Knife and Gun Club, and it says a little quote about the races and violence. They say blacks will shoot each other, Hispanics will knife each other, and Indians will use scissors on each other.
Interesting,
yeah.
Very interesting, but I don't buy it.
Neither do I.
Are you going to see the film?
I might see it tomorrow.
Oh, well, good. I might wait for it to come out in video, actually. It's a lot less risky, but...
Don't wear anything red or blue.
No, I'm going to be very careful in my house, because... can you imagine if riots broke out when videos were released? Well, that would be something. You know? But I don't know, I think the whole situation is pretty ridiculous, and I think it can be...
People in this country just can't control themselves.
No, that's always been the case.
But it just seems in America it's full of time. Or maybe it is everywhere, but, you know, they just... a lot more on TV and stuff. I don't know.
Uh-huh. Well, this is certainly going to give the media a lot of fuel to sensationalize things for quite a bit longer.
Months, usually.
Yeah. Okay, well, thank you for calling. Where are you calling from?
I'm calling from Holbrook.
All right.
Okay.
Well, keep the peace out there. 632-6901. We first meet the three friends and Boys in the Hood when they are young boys, but the story focuses largely on their late teenage years with Cuba Gooding Jr. as Trey Stiles at age 17. His friends, two brothers from the neighboring Baker family, are Doughboy, played by Ice Cube, and Ricky, played by Morris Chestnut. The film has a lot of messages in it, Singleton says, but my main message is that African-American men have to take more responsibility for raising their children, especially their boys. Fathers have to teach their boys to be men. The audience will be able to see the directions that the characters take when there is an absence or a presence of fathers in their lives. Principal photography began on Boys in the Hood on October 1st, 1990.
with considerable care taken to maximize realism in the picture. Three members of a South Central Los Angeles gang, among them a young man confined to a wheelchair as a result of a shooting incident 2 years ago, acted as consultants to Singleton, and the actors on all facets of the film, with particular input on wardrobe, vocal emphasis, and dialogue changes to most accurately reflect current reality. And although some crew members were at first concerned about safety on location, their fears were allayed by a security team that included Los Angeles police officers and members of the Fruit of Islam, an organization respected by all parts of the black community, in large part because of the group's religious devotion and self-discipline. The distinctly upbeat mood on the set can be attributed to the predominantly African-American crew's strong belief in the project and to the fact that producer Steve Nicolides grandfathered 12 African-Americans into the International Alliance of Theatrical Stage Employees. That's some of the information from the, I guess, press kit that came out with Boys in the Hood. Got that a couple of weeks ago. And it's suddenly become a hot item. 632-6901 is our telephone number. We're talking about violence in the outside the theaters and in the theaters and things like that. Good evening.
One thing we could also be talking about is the fact that Tony's wrong. You are a great person, and don't even listen to what he says about, you know, everybody playing music.
Yeah, well, you know, Tony is one of those people that you have to have around so that you can see how great everything else is in comparison. You know, there's always a person like that. You know, in a Shakespeare play, you had your fools, you know. Here, we have our Tonys.
Well, I just thought I'd let you know that the music is nothing personal.
I didn't take it as anything personal. But we are going to play that song, okay? Just to make everybody happy, we are going to play that song.
Oh, I'm not bugging you about the song.
No.
I'm just saying that you are a great person and don't even listen to anything Tony says.
Well, shucks.
What do you mean don't listen to what
hey,
I
you
say?
Stay out of here.
Nothing great about the guy at all.
You stay out of here. You stay out of here, Tony.
Play the song!
Tony, do you want me to do that again? I'll do it again.
I've been listening to Eric Corley's show since I first heard of WUSB back in October. Every week. Devotedly.
Why?
Why?
Yeah, why? Tell me. I'd like to know.
Because I happen to find it very interesting.
Well, that's heartening.
What?
I'm that's very heartening, and I wish more people would say things like that, because it sure would make me feel good. But it makes me feel good to hear one person say that.
I'll put it to you this way.
Okay.
People who do listen to the show, like that girl who wanted suicidal tendencies, or the metalhead, or the guy who just called in, they listen to the show because they like you, not because they've got nothing better to do on a Saturday night.
Well, I guess there's a certain harmony to all of that. Well, it's good. I feel like I'm with friends, you know. I feel like I'm hanging out on a Saturday night with my friends, except I'm doing it in a weird kind of a way, speaking into a little microphone with this obnoxious person occasionally busting his head through the door and saying something stupid. Oh, hi, Kibret. I thought you were somebody else.
Talking about me?
No, I was talking about Tony, not Kibret. Well, not anymore.
Can
I'm not.
Can I easily slap you with this book?
What book is that?
It's a pretty thick one.
Can I see it?
It's Schwann, yes.
Yeah, now I have
guide,
it.
Guide, my friend, to over 85,000 compact discs, cassettes, and LPs. Hint, hint.
Oh, you want to hear music. Okay, I'm going to play a song, and I guess I'll try to go back to the discussion after the song.
Just play the record.
Tony, just stick your... No, never mind.
I want you to play...
Just never mind.
All right? You have 21 minutes to play the record.
And on the 22nd minute, Tony, you're going to be an awfully sorry person. But,
better look out, Tony.
Oh, yes. He's a bit of a sadomasochist, but we need people like that around here. All right. I guess we'll play the record now, huh? What do you think? That's a good idea?
I think it's a pretty good idea.
All right. Let's do that, and we'll go back to the phone calls afterwards. Thanks for calling, and I guess maybe we'll talk to you later too.
Most definitely.
All right, thanks for calling. 632-6901, and here is the song that everybody has been clamoring for from Suicidal Tendencies. Tony White queued this up himself while I was talking, so he actually did something right. Let's see if he did. Hey, he did.
Sometimes I try to do things, and it just doesn't work out the way I want it to. And I get real frustrated. And I try hard to do it, and I take my time, but it just doesn't work out the way I want it to. It's like I concentrate on real hard, but it just doesn't work out. And everything I do and everything I try, it never turns out. It's like I need time to figure these things out. There's always someone there going, hey Mike, you don't even notice that you've been having a lot of cross-lady, you know? Maybe get away. to talk about? I go, no, I don't want to. I'm okay. I'll figure it out myself. They just keep bugging me. They just keep bugging me. There's a film on the side. Stop me as soon as I lose on my brain. What's my time? You will have it. Then I'll pray what you can see away. I'm not drinking. Here's the dessert. Get me what I'm drinking. Here's the dessert. You're driving me crazy. Here's the dessert. They take me in and in soon. Cause that was the only solution to get me to profess. I'm taking from the enemy myself. I was in my room, and I was just like staring at the wall, thinking about everything, sitting down, thinking about nothing. And then my mom came in, and I didn't even know she was there. She called my name, and I didn't hear it, and she started screaming, Mike, Mike! And I go, what? What's the matter? She goes, what's the matter with you? I go, there's nothing wrong, Mom. She goes, don't tell me that, you're on drugs! I go, no, Mom, I'm not on drugs, I'm okay, I'm just thinking, you know? Why don't you give me a Pepsi? She goes, no, you're on drugs! I go, Mom, I'm okay, I'm just thinking. She goes, no, you're not thinking, you're on drugs. Normal people don't act that way. I go, Mom, just give me a Pepsi, please. All I want is a Pepsi. And she wouldn't give it to me. All I wanted was a Pepsi. Just one Pepsi. And she wouldn't give it to me. Just a Pepsi. See my shirt with my sleeves. I mean, I can see a sleeve. Just get me, just lay me. It's the good day, I'm crazy. Oh, I'm not crazy. Here's the dessert. You're the one that's crazy. Here's the dessert. You're trying to be crazy. Here's the dessert. I take it in and it's true. Cause that was the only truth you can get from that love. I can probably get me myself. I'm sitting in my room. My mom and my dad came in. They pulled up the chair and they sat down. They go, Mike, need to talk to you. I go, okay, what's the matter? They go, me and your mom, we noticed the lady is having a lot of problems. And you've been going off for no reason. And we're afraid you're going to hurt somebody. And we're afraid you're going to hurt yourself. So we decided that it would be in your best interest if we put you somewhere where you can get the help that you need. And I go, wait, what are you talking about? We decided my best interest? How do you know what my best interest is? How can you say what my best interest is? What are you trying to say? I'm crazy. When I went to your school, I went to your churches, I went to your institutional learning facilities. So how can you say I'm crazy? Say no to people right, leave it up to them. I say, by the time they think I had better leave, I'll be dead.
Doesn't matter, he'll probably get hit by a car anyway. Yes, suicidal tendencies institutionalized. I always hit my head on something when that song is on. But it's worth it. Yeah, it's definitely worth it. 632-6901 is our telephone number, and we're going to go back to the phone calls. But first, it's time to reach out and ask yet another stupid question. And Stupid Questions is made possible through a fellowship grant from the Institution for Higher Learning. And we're certainly trying to do that all the time here. And boy, do we have a stupid question for you tonight.
May I help you?
Yes. Hello. Is it 7-Eleven?
Mm-hmm.
I want to find out if you have that new kind of gum that's come out. It's the non-chewing gum.
Which one?
It's the gum for people that don't like to chew gum. You know, for people that have, like, dentures and things like that. It's just, you sort of, like, let it sit there.
Oh.
It's called non-chewing gum. Can you check to see if you have that?
Okay. Hello?
Yes.
I'm sorry, sir. We don't have them.
Do you know when you might be expected to get it?
I don't know, sir.
Okay. Have you heard of this?
No.
You've never heard of it? Because there's all kinds of advertisements about it. It's gum for people that that can't chew.
Oh.
No?
I never heard it.
Oh. Okay, that's a big disappointment then.
Okay.
All right. Well, thanks anyway. Have a good night.
You do the same, sir.
All right. Bye-bye. Incidentally, that 7-Eleven was located in Virginia. All right. Well, I thought it was a good question. And I'm sure it's being marketed, too, so don't look at me like that. All right. We're talking about Boys in the Hood. And all the violence that's taking place. A person stabbed in Comac. Violence all throughout the country. All across the nation. And who knows what's going on tonight. We don't know. The majority of extras in the picture are from South Central Los Angeles, oftentimes plucked by Singleton from among the curious spectators who gathered around the set on location. Singleton, whom the crew took to calling by his lifelong nickname, John John, also makes a cameo appearance in the film as a mailman. It's rare to have a chance to work on a project that is sincere and has something to say about society, says Nicolades. The strength of the black community is what makes this film strong. The script is sincere and, more important, timely. This story is about our society today, and it's important for everyone to take a look at what our society is doing to itself. I think that's really kind of ironic when you see society going absolutely nuts at the debut of this film. What can we do about it? Is there anything we can do? 632-6901. Good evening.
Hello.
Hi, who's this?
It's me again.
How many listeners do I really have?
I don't know.
I think I have 3 listeners. I think that's it.
No, not really. I got lots of fans, Eric. Listen, first of all, like, the name of the gum is Trident. Second of all...
Now, wait a minute. There's no gum. It's not for chewing.
No shit. Sherlock.
Okay. Thanks for calling. But you're going to have to sober up if you want to be on this radio show. 632-6901. Good evening.
Sober.
Huh?
I'm sober.
Oh, that's good. That's good. Good to hear a sobering voice.
Well, that's good.
I still think I only have 3 listeners, though.
Don't worry about it. You've got more than 3 listeners.
As long as they're 3 loyal listeners, that's all that matters.
That's true.
So, what's on your mind since the last time you called?
What's on my mind is thank you for playing the song. As long as we're talking about the effects of things, why not mention the effects of that song on people?
Okay. Well, I hit my head, but apart from that, what effects did it have on you?
Well...
You have call waiting? Oh. They hung up. Can you believe that? They hung up. That is insulting, to be hung up upon by a caller. Ah, can't believe it. Can't believe these things are happening to me. 632-6901. Area code 516. Good evening.
Remember I said it was a crappy phone?
What did you do?
Pulled the wire.
You just pulled the wire, huh? Okay. I somehow guessed which line you'd be calling back on, and that was the right one.
Mm-hmm.
All right, so what were you saying before you pulled the phone out of the wall?
I didn't pull the phone out of the wall.
Well, whatever happened to the phone, before that happened, what were you saying?
What was I saying?
See, you don't remember.
What?
You don't remember, do you?
No, I don't. We were talking about institutionalized.
Yeah, what kind of effect does it have on people?
Well, now, all right, I don't know what effect it might have on other people. But the effect of the song on me, I mean, in some ways I can relate to it. Because if you think about it, that last verse, just that last verse, not the rest of the song, just that last verse, about how he was sitting in his room and his mother and father came in and pulled up a chair and said, you're going to get institutionalized.
Right. Well, we want to put you someplace where you won't be, you know, won't get hurt, where you won't hurt others.
Yeah.
Yeah. What about it?
Well, now think about his reply for a minute.
Wait a minute. What do you mean, we decided... My best interest? What do you mean, my best interest? When I've gone to your schools, your institutions, your churches, and he goes on.
The learning facilities.
Are you learning facilities? Right.
Now, I'm just wondering, this might be a general question for the audience, but have you ever felt that your parents don't understand you in the way you'd like them to?
Well, gosh, you know, that's something that I think so few people actually think. No, obviously everybody thinks that. Yeah, that's something everybody thinks. So I think everybody can identify with the lyrics of the song, if not with the music itself.
Definitely that last verse.
Yeah. Oh, of course.
I mean, okay.
Does it apply to you?
It applies to me in more than one way. It's not just my parents. I feel like it's everybody.
Everybody, huh?
My parents understand me now, but they didn't understand me before I bitched and moaned about going to West Islip High School. Let me just give West Islip High School some bad press over the phone.
Sure, go right ahead.
Well, I had some friends who moved to Taiwan, and these two were super geniuses. And before they moved to Taiwan, they went to Bayshore High School. And they came back, and they lived in West Islip. Now, my friend knew, I guess the language in Taiwan is, Chinese.
Yeah.
Well, whatever it was, they didn't accept his credits in, you know, speaking that foreign language in West Islip. They told him he had to take one of the three languages West Islip offers, French, Spanish, and German.
Uh-huh.
And after raking him through the coals about not returning to high school or not being able to pass without these credits in those three languages, they turned around and they asked his mother, would it be okay if we used your son as good press for West Islip, saying that we spawned the super genius? The kid had never gone to West Islip High School before.
Right, he went to Bayshore.
Right, and then to some institution in Taiwan.
Interesting.
Okay, now that's just the start of what West Islip does.
Uh-oh.
Without mentioning things that might incriminate myself, let me just tell you that my principal last year spread a nasty rumor about me that wasn't true.
What was the nasty rumor?
That's the incriminating part.
Oh, okay. That's also the interesting part, but okay, we'll skip it.
No, we don't have to, because it's not true.
Well, yeah, of course. I assume that you said it was a rumor that it's not true.
Okay. Last year I had anemia, and I was really worried.
Uh-huh.
Okay. And the social worker at the school, see, I could sue this lady. I just found this out a couple days ago. I told the social worker that I was worried because I hadn't had my period, because I had anemia, but I didn't know at the time that I had anemia. I just knew that I was tired. And I told the social worker my fears. The social worker told the principal. The principal had a meeting with me, told me I'd better tell my parents, because they thought, well, I'm sure you can guess and the audience can guess what, you know, they thought.
That you might be coming down with the measles.
Not quite.
The mumps?
Nope.
Chicken pox? Yeah, I think I can figure it out.
Yeah. Well, the principal went around and told every one of my teachers, oh, be careful of this girl. The principal informed the PTA that I was, let's just say, not a good student because of this. I mean, can you believe that?
Well, now, do you have specific evidence that that this was done?
What?
Do you have specific evidence that this person did this?
Oh, yes, every teacher of mine came up to me. Now, there is no way any of my teachers could have known,
uh-huh,
except through the social worker, and I know the principal knew, and I didn't tell him.
Uh-huh.
And every one of my teachers came up to me, oh, I'm sorry to hear about it.
Uh-huh.
For one thing, if what I feared was the case, why should they be sorry?
Yeah. Well, that's something, you know, I think you shouldn't let something like that go by. You know, I hope you do something, you have to get somebody in trouble for that, for betraying a confidence.
Well, it's not just that.
And not just that, right, of course. Expanding upon that confidence quite a bit. And sort of using their imagination and, you know, spreading that around, too.
And then the principal proceeded to call up my parents and tell my parents my quote-unquote problem.
Uh-huh.
And after explaining this to my parents, he informed my parents that I was some kind of a social misfit.
Oh, dear.
Which is bull. I had plenty of friends, and for a person who provokes a lot of fights, I got into a fight, one fight, for the entire year.
Uh-huh.
And believe me, the way I am, I can, not meaning to, okay? I don't usually mean to. I can provoke a lot of fights.
Uh-huh.
Just by saying something stupid. Just by saying what's on my mind.
That's what gets people in trouble all the time. But it's best to provoke fights among two different people and not get involved yourself. That's my way of doing things.
Well, yeah, but what I don't understand is, A, what is so bad about being pregnant that everybody tells you they're sorry?
Well, I guess they're assuming that you weren't planning on it, and that it's probably just thrown a monkey wrench into your immediate plans.
Even if you weren't planning on it, okay, let's say I was. Do you know how happy I would be to have this life coming from me?
Uh-huh.
coming from something that I, well, I didn't do it. I mean, I couldn't figure out how I'd gotten pregnant without having anemia. I mean, without having anemia. That's swift. Without having, you know, sex.
Uh-huh.
But, I mean, if this was a new life I was creating, I was happy.
Uh-huh. Well, you know, a lot of people wouldn't share that. I mean, it's good that you do, but a lot of people would say, oh, boy, what a pain, you know, and that's unfortunately how a lot of people look upon things.
It's too bad so many people see abortion as the only way out.
Yeah, well, it's, you know, a lot of people let it get to that stage where, you know, it is the only way out for them, and I think that's, you know, kind of ignorant to let it get to that stage because there's ways of preventing it, obviously.
Because before I was in this condition, I was thinking very, very, what's the word I'm looking for, very profoundly about it. And, you know, before I knew the truth, there was one thing that I was definitely sure of, okay? Beforehand, I had been pro-choice.
Uh-huh.
And in a way, I'm still pro-choice. I think a woman has the right to choose. But personally, if I was in that situation, what with either do it or don't, I wouldn't.
Well, that's a choice. Because and you're making that choice.
What?
That's a choice, and it's a choice you're making. And the question is, do you want to be the one to make that choice, or do you want, you know, some governmental official to make that choice for you? You know, pro-choice does not mean, and I think you know this, does not mean choosing abortion. Not at all. It means choosing whichever, you know. A choice means two options at least. And what pro-choice people want is for women to have that choice.
Mm-hmm.
And not to have it taken away and made into a law or something like that.
Yeah. And I happen to also believe in a woman's right to choose, you know, just about anything she wants. I don't think she should held back. She should be held back by what the government wants, because that was most of the problem with the nation's, the Soviet satellites. That's why communism fell, because people were choosing things for you.
Uh-huh. Yeah, well, people don't like to be controlled. That's certainly true. Listen, we've run out of time.
Ah.
We have run out of time, and I have to get out of here and start moving overseas.
Well, you are so lucky.
Well, not really. I mean, yeah, I guess so, but we're all lucky. We just don't realize it.
Okay, before I go, though, and before you go, and before time totally runs out, there's just one other thing I have to say.
Okay.
That's speaking your mind.
Okay.
That's why I happen to like this show so much, because it's people speaking their minds on what they believe in.
Yeah, that's true, and I can't believe so few people really do speak their minds anymore. It seems like everyone's afraid to, you know, to say what's on their minds. And I know there's things on people's minds because, you know, I'm able to get it out of them in real life. So, you know, I know there are thinking people out there. Unfortunately, the time has run out for them to speak their minds tonight. But maybe when I come back in several weeks, they'll have something to say.
That's too bad.
All right. Well, I want to thank you for speaking your mind. I hope things work out in all facets of your life. And thanks again.
Sure.
All right. We'll be talking to you soon, and talking to everybody else out there. It's Program's Brain Damage. Program was Brain Damage. We're out of time. I won't be here next week, and I won't be here the week after that, and I probably won't be here the week after that. But I might be here the week after that, but if not, definitely the week after that. All right? I think I've made it as clear as I can possibly make it. And in the spirit of free communication and free thought and freedom of choice and all that kind of thing, let's go out with one final song from Give Him Enough Rope, titled, appropriately enough, Stay Free. And folks, please do that. Stay tuned for Cabrette. I'll see you again when I see you. Good night.
In the past. drunk in Memphis.